Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave.
What's up?
We're here to talk about the Thunder.
It puts the lotion on.
Playing against the Warriors. And great first three quarters. Fourth quarter was all Warriors. Yada, yada, yada. We know where we're at with the play-in. We got to find a way to get a win in the next two games. The Dallas Mavericks got three games left. Yada, yada, yada. But let's forget about all that. And let's just take a big picture, a 30,000-foot view from the top.
Let's think about
this, dude. To me, this is the single most exciting Thunder season in history. And I understand why some people would be like, oh, what about, you know, the year we played the Lakers and then all those, you know, great Thunder players went out and played for Team USA. Forget about all that.
Well, and
this
and yes.
team is the most exciting Thunder team in Thunder history.
Forget about that, but realize the reason that we know that this is the most exciting Thunder team in history is because of those times, because of what Stan Presti taught us, because of what Stan Presti showed us. So he laid the foundation for us all those years ago as saying, I will do what it takes for getting a championship here. And now to us, it's like, yes, not everything is there and not everything is perfect right now. But to me, when I saw Coach D get pissed last night, and he went crazy. And then his interview afterwards, and he's like, it was death by small razor blades, right?
Paper cut,
death by cuts of razor blades. Like, I couldn't help but get excited, man. Because to me, like, watching Coach understand what it meant, that one play was like a five-point turnaround. You know, like, how big that was and how much he got fucked over it because he knew it was the end of the game on that. And how long did it still have? We still have like 3 or 4 minutes. And that's what I love about Coach D, man, is he gets it such in a passionate way, and then it brings everybody else together. And we can say, you guys can sit out there and say that Coach D this or Coach D that, but just listen, Coach D is elite, and you all are going to find out really quickly here because when all the professionals start talking about how elite he is, you'll start realizing how lucky you are to have him on your team and coaching your team.
Absolutely. And now we're looking at it like end of the season. I heard Devin Booker say, this is the most important time of the year for basketball, and you want to be playing your best basketball this time of year. Now, I would say that some quarters we're playing our best basketball, but we're just facing teams that are elite in their ability to finish off games, and we're not able to finish them, so they're finishing us. That's, to me, representative of the fact that last couple of seasons, we weren't playing deep. So these guys are actually getting physically tired, and we're having to figure out a way to muster the energy to complete the season. Once again, we count that as another victory for this team.
All this talk of deep and finishing off, man. Crazy, bro. I just say that what's happening with this team, though, like I can't say it enough. Everybody's like jumping to conclusions saying, oh, this team, oh, that's it. You know, we need to, you know, do this or we need to do this to change things. No. What this team needs to do is learn from the mistakes that are happening. And they're very slight mistakes, guys. Like when you're saying a 5-point difference or a 6-point difference in a game, like that's the difference between two possessions. I mean, it really is. Like two possessions in any game, it could come down to 6 points. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, like, what can this team do better to get to that point? Well, just like with every young team, you get to that point where like it's 6 points until you're beating the best of the best. Right? The year before, it was 12 points. The year before, it was 15 points. So we're seeing the progression right in front of us now. So it's now it's 6 points, right? So what is it going to be next year? No, it's going to be flipped next year. That's what's so great about this team is that we've seen so much progression, so much improvement on this is that there's no doubt in my mind is that you add blank into our lineup and then you add blank into our bench role players and Usman Jang plays harder, Kenny Hustle comes back, and then all of a sudden we're 15, 20 points better than we were last year, guys. What does 15 points, 20 points better for next year mean to this team? Like, that's what we're talking about. That's why this team is the most exciting team in Oklahoma City Thunder history. It's because they're showing you guys what they can do, not full strength. We're one game, or half a game, game and a half ahead of Dallas right now, and we have two games left. They have three. They lose tonight, and we win tomorrow, it's over. They lose tonight, it's pretty much over at that point. But that's what's so crazy about this, man.
Like, why is it that we're in the driver's seat right now of the season and Oklahoma City Thunder media is acting like we don't have what it takes. We're not going to finish strong. Like, we've got a chance for this 10th spot. The Mavericks, who on paper are in win now mode, are behind us hoping to pass us. Like, there's physically no way we can lose. Even if we don't make the playoffs, our pick gets better. The Mavericks lose their pick probably. And like, everything goes good that way too. But it seems like to me, you know what it seems like, Dave? The media has checked out. The media has decided. Go ahead.
No. You're right. The media has decided.
They decided a long time ago that they didn't think this team was a playoff team. And now they're already looking at, well, like we say about the players, Cancun, bro.
I got to be careful with this because I in the past when we've talked shit on other podcasts in Oklahoma City Thunder media,
we always lose followers, bro.
We always lose followers, and I want to say this with all due respect is that there's a reason that we don't look towards the draft, that we don't look towards the future and the aspect of what our lineup will be and all this other stuff for next year. We don't do that is because it's disrespecting the players that are playing right now. Because what the players are doing out there is all you got to do is watch games and you have enough content to fill your entire whatever. Like, Mark and I could watch one game and in one game write enough content to have, I don't know, 10 podcasts, 15 minutes each. You see what I'm saying, guys? Like, we just watch a game and we absorb all this stuff that we know, right? So if you don't know the game and you don't have the knowledge of the game, okay? And Mark's and my knowledge is, I would say, basic at best, okay? Right? If you don't have that type, even a basic knowledge at best, then you sit on there and you sit and talk about the fucking draft. Or you sit and talk about the future of the starting lineups. Or you talk about this or that or filling in the space because you don't understand what's happening on the court. It's like a 10-year-old sitting there watching his brother play pick a game, Madden, you know? And he's like, oh yeah, I could do this. I could beat him. You know? And he doesn't even understand plays. He doesn't understand defensive schemes. He's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And then his brother blows him out by 100. Why? Well, his brother understands the fucking game. Mm-hmm. He knows what he has to do. He knows what type of defense he has to play. He knows all this other stuff. And that's what's so mind-boggling is that these guys get paid bukus of money. And they have crazy followings everywhere. And what do they bring? They bring embarrassment to the Thunder players because they're not willing to stand out there and tell everybody all the wonderful things these guys are doing. And that's what the Thunder players are doing. I mean, they're putting their balls on the wall. I guarantee you there is at least three guys that are injured playing through injuries right now. Minor injuries, but they're still playing through them. And all of a sudden, you have to sit and listen to all the podcasts and all the radio stations just give you shit because they're like, oh, there's another one. Let's go ahead and fold, guys. Let's go ahead and start looking towards the draft. How does that make you feel as a player, man? That would fucking fire me up. I'll be like, fuck you, guys. Fuck you. So when Mark and I are sitting here talking and getting upset, we're getting upset because that's what the players are. You know, mm-hmm. We have people in the locker room. We know what's up. And they're all upset about it because they want people believing in them right now. And everything that's happening right now, everybody's like, oh, look at the draft. If we get a top 10 pick, guys, this is what we could get. And the players are like, we're fucking playing still, guys. What are you doing?
Hanging on to that 10th seed, bro. We call it verbal diarrhea that feeds into the human centipede, right? And that's just keeps going. It's diarrhea into the next person's mouth, diarrhea to the next person's mouth. And it never goes anywhere, but they feel like they're, you know, they're keeping their publishers happy, right? So they're doing fine. But if they didn't hear, if the players didn't hear these things, then why are the players' families contacting us and thanking us for saying something different, for focusing on the right things by talking about what is happening out in the court? Some people can act like, oh, it doesn't matter what we say, we're just the media, but it does matter. And understanding right now, like, I get it. Like, the whole pretense of this pod is that this is the most exciting season ever for the Thunder. And I get the hesitancy. And
people can't even pull their heads out of their asses to realize it, bro. That's what's it, so bro. Embarrassing.
It's it. That's it. Like, the rest of the national media gets it.
I want to say this. As a human being, I like other podcasters out there, right? I like Rylan. I like, you know... Andrew Schleck. I like these guys as humans. I like their stories. They talk about their families and all that other stuff. I've enjoyed listening to them for so many years, right? And I connect to them at that human level. But I'm sorry, their knowledge of the game, Barry Trammell, their knowledge of the game is as if they literally stopped watching the game at 10 years old. And now all they do is sit there and read what Barry says and read what, you know, Joe says and reads what all these other people are writing, and all they're doing is just regurgitating what they're hearing from those guys. And that's what gets me so frustrating, is because we have a spot. We have a voice, guys, and all I want to do is use it for the positivity of these players in the organization. And I just feel like I'm running my head up against the wall sometimes, because everybody's like, rebuild, strip them down, trade Shea, do this, do that. And it's like, you know, like, just chill and let this team do what they can. Support them like we're supposed to. You know, like, what are we supposed to do as fans? Throw vegetables at them on the court or just cheer them when they're playing? Come on.
Right. It's about support. And Dave and I, when we first started out podcasting, we used to talk like this pretty regularly. But over the last few times, anytime Dave and I have an episode like this, I go ahead and delete it before we produce it, because it becomes...
We did one about Josh Giddey the other day.
Right. And it's just like, we don't want to be in a spot where we're shitting on people and like using our platform to be negative. But if the people are going to be negative about the team, then we're going to stand up for the team, for the players, for the individuals that make up our organization. And yes, it's exciting to think about next year, getting Kenny back, getting Chet back, getting full strength, adding a player, all these different things. But we have 2 games left.
Right? I know. We're in the 10th spot. We have entire offseason.
I know. And that's what we want to focus on. I'm not fucking deleting this episode. You guys can give us thumbs down if you don't like it. You can tell us to fuck off. That's cool.
But I want to throw something in positive. All right? And we can talk about this for a few minutes, and then we can end this podcast after that. But I want to talk about something positive that I've recognized. Okay, Dort, Lou Dort, guys, he has stepped up in a big way. Everybody was talking the major shit on Dort about this, about that. He should never open a shot, never shoot a shot. He read all that shit, guys. I know it.
Yeah, yeah.
And what has he done? He has stepped up in a major fucking way. He is doing whatever it takes. The offensive boards he's been getting is Kenny-esque, a Kenny Hustle-esque, bro. And Kenny's elite in the NBA for it. Now Dort's doing it. Like, not just that, but the steals, the charges, they can't screen for, whoever Dort's guarding. They can't, because he's going to get a charge on them. I'm telling you guys, Dort is the reason that this team is sitting where we're at right now. And it's crazy to me that we are sitting in a position that we are. And I love Josh Giddey. I love Shea. I love, you know, J-Dub. You know, I love all of these guys. But to me, you take Dort away from this, and you take the rhinoceros out of a zoo, man. Like, nobody's going to want to go see a zoo without no rhino. You know, like, Lou Dort is that guy. And I love Chris, one of our daily listeners, man, one of my favorite dudes, right? He says that Lou Dort is the Jermome Bettis of the NBA. And if you guys don't know who the bus is, I had an opportunity to meet him in the 90s. What a huge dude. And I started thinking about that and the way that the bus played, right? And going downhill. And that's Lou Dort, bro. And if you think about the fact that we can find an NFL player that reminds us of a player that plays in the NBA, bro, that's so fucking unique.
And not everybody wants to talk positive about Lou Dort because it doesn't fit into their narrative. So fuck them. This is what we got for you. That's it, baby. Lou Dort's the man. This is the best Thunder year ever. Next year is even better coming up. So get ready for it, guys, and enjoy this moment. 2 games left, okay? We got to beat the Jazz. We got to beat the Grizz, and we'll be just fine. We got the tiebreaker against the Mavs. Let's get it. Join us live for the next game here on YouTube. We love you guys. We will see you then.